Marshall and Sagar here. Welcome back to the Realignments Ask Me Anything discussion series. Sorry for the pause last weekend. Sagar was on the road and I was moving to my new house. So it was the definition of not a time that anything was going to come together, but we're going to make up for it with a great conversation here. Quick reminder, if you'd like to get access to the full version of this conversation, you can go to realignment.supercast.com or click the link at the top of your show notes. $5 a month, $50 a year, or $500 for a lifetime membership. So let's jump into the free section. This was originally a question for Supercast subscribers only, but I know everyone wants to hear this one. So we'll start here. Sagar, your Apple Vision Pro review. I got a bunch of emails about this. People want to hear. Really? Give us, yes. People were like, the second they saw your tweets, they were like, make Sagar tell us his perspective. It's your show. Go for it. Give us the full scope.
That's funny. I mean, I did a video with Crystal. Because today, Friday, is my day off, I probably wore it for 4 hours this morning. So you can probably even still see the mark on my forehead from wearing it.
Oh, my God. Guys, I'm leaning in. We don't publish video. I can see the mark. Yeah, there's a mark here.
It's the seal. Friday, my thing lately has been waking up and watching Masters of the Air because it gets released on Fridays, which is an Apple TV. I will tell you guys, watching Apple TV specifically, I wish they had better content. Inside Vision Pro is so incredible because they have something called cinema mode where you literally feel like you're in the cinema. You can even select the seat that you're sitting in. And I had it set as middle row and I was sitting in my living room. Everything is completely blacked out. I'm watching this World War II, you know, highly produced show. It was absolutely incredible. I was able to watch Netflix. I just used the browser, been catching up on that. It was awesome. I can actually send you the video if you want. This morning I sent to one of our mutual friends of me just like watching television, catching up on email. I had a calendar, which I have some meetings that are after this as well. And then I was also monitoring Twitter at the same time. So I really, really enjoy it. I know there have been some people who have been returning it for pain reasons, but honestly, like, here's the thing. If you were expecting me to wear this thing 12 hours a day, like, I don't know who told you this is going to be a phone. I don't know who did not notify you that this is not a first generation product. I use it fully aware of that. I've had 100x experience it with it, especially on the plane. I love wearing it on the plane. But what I found is I don't love it. I love it a ton on the plane. I love it even more in the airport. Preparing for stuff in the airport, you know this, when you're just, you know, on your laptop and you're like hunched over. Also, people are looking at you and like looking at your screen. No. Like, I'm sitting there fully immersed. I'm on 100 inch screen.
I will say, dude, people are 100% looking at you wearing the Vision Pro.
I sit in a corner. I'm not the guy looking to get a video of me taking. I go into a corner and I turn my back to everyone else and then I put it on. So if you do happen to glance me, I'm not doing it openly in front of everyone else. I also, if any flight attendants listen to the show, I have been putting the Vision Pro on after takeoff because I'm afraid that Vision Pro qualifies like a laptop and not a handheld device. So if any flight attendant could tell me whether it's like a cell phone and you're allowed to still use it during takeoff or not, that would be very helpful because I'm also afraid of getting told off, being like, sir, you need to take that off, which would just be embarrassing. So that's what I've been holding on to for now. Overall, I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm not returning it. I know there's a lot of people who are returning it. Frankly, those people are just trolling for clicks or they never intended on actually buying it in the first place. I'm not returning it, especially because there's no way we're getting another one of these things for like 2 or 3 years. There were 3 years between Quest 2 and Quest 3. It's going to be a long time. And I can tell you already, I think V2 is going to be insane. My major prediction, I'm borrowing this from Marquise Brownlee, is shared spatial computing, Marshall, where you and I, not even metaverse per se, but I mean, for example, it's a kind of a bummer because you want to watch TV with your partner, you're sitting there, you're watching your television, and that's fine. But you know, you own a device, which is the greatest TV machine literally ever invented, and you can't share it with somebody else. So if they can drive the price down and then you and your shared partner in the same space can watch something where you can physically interact with each other, like in the real world and in the virtual world in the same, you know, actual place, as opposed to like a metaverse type of situation, that's going to be just absolute insanity. And that's where I think things are heading. That's where I do.
Very interesting. So one follow-up before we move to the next topic. I'm sure a lot of folks saw Mark Zuckerberg's very well done response video. Like, put aside the claims. Like, whoever gave Mark Zuckerberg not just media training, but presentation, affect, conceptualization training to really push back against the social network era caricature of him. Remarkable job, really well performed, very hard to do it the way he did it. His central claim here was, end of the day, for the vast majority of people, even including some of the productivity use cases, the Quest, I think the Quest 4 is the one he was talking about. Quest 3 is still a better product for much cheaper. I think the main response I had to it, though, and I said this to you in a group chat with our friends, was, look, end of the day, the Quest, the Oculus before it, these have been out for years. I'm waiting a few months before I get a Vision Pro, but there's never been one single time that I've seen a Quest or an Oculus device and said to myself, man, like, I'm experiencing FOMO. I'm clearly experiencing FOMO from the Apple Vision Pro. So, like, that's a basic, like, execution and then, like, company marketing issue that comes down there. But then, too, I think Zuck spent too much time focusing on the video games in terms of the difference. Him saying, like, look, we have all these games. They barely have games. You could play Xbox on it. I think the market of people who are looking to play games in that style, they're already well served, but that's not who was actually choosing between the Vision Pro and the Quest 3. What's your take on the response?
Yeah, it's tough because I'm not the right customer to even ask. I don't game. I don't even consider the Vision
Pro. That's how he was pitching it. He was basically saying, like, I was shocked at how the only thing that I saw was being totally better was that gaming-centric experience.
And I'm like, I don't give a shit. I don't care about gaming. That's why, by the way, I never even considered Quest 3 because everybody I know who has a Quest 3 is a gamer. They're like, oh, you got to play this game and that game in the metaverse. I'm like, I'm literally not interested in that. I'm interested in television and productivity apps. So, you know, if you could fix that, great. Yeah, theoretically, he's right. I mean, you can use Quest 3 with a PC. I don't have a PC. I already have a Mac. I don't even know if that has the integration, but... Look, what do people always say about Mac? It just works. And the most awesome thing is you open up your MacBook with the Vision Pro on. Then a floating button says connect, and you hit it with your fingers. And now you have a fully functional screen that you can place where you want, make as big as you want, which is completely integrated with your keyboard and with your trackpad. And I'm not kidding, guys. It takes 1 second. After you hit connect, it just works. It just works. What else can I say about it? So I don't know. I probably have to download some like mirroring thing and all this. It's like, it's too complicated. And that's kind of what my response to Zuck was, is Quest 3 is priced appropriately. It's a gaming device. It's, what is it, like $500, $550? Mm-hmm. How much is a PS5? See, again, I don't game. How much?
Yeah, it's $400 to $500.
There you go. Sounds reasonable. But how much is a high-end MacBook Pro? $2,500? Okay. Yeah. Now, well, I have a high-end MacBook Pro with glasses. You add on 1,000 plus a little bit more, you know, for the for like taxes or whatever, for first generation tech and a brand new factory in Shenzhen. Seems reasonable to me, but you have to put it that way. You have to kind of compare things in the difference. That's the other thing, man. When you hold the hardware and you look and you see how small the actual headset itself is outside of many of the things that are around it, the actual computer, it's incredible. I mean, again, all I can see when I use this thing is I can't imagine what it's going to be like 5 years from now. I actually can't. Just seeing the iPhone 1 to iPhone 4, which I lived through. It wasn't even that. I mean, how long was that? 4 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think 3 or 4 years. That's all it took. And it complete revolution. So it's coming. It's a great piece of tech. I really enjoy it.
Good take. You probably sold a few to folks who were on the bubble there. So the next open question is your reaction, our reaction to OpenAI's new Sora video tech. I mean, my instant reaction here is there's a lot of folks who are saying, oh, Hollywood's finished. Creative workers, you should be really screwed. There's this really like dramatic tweet about like, this is a real FU to people who are going into creative work at the start of their careers. My reaction though is to actually go though to the problem we're all experiencing with streaming services. This isn't the problem of like, hey, I have to pay like five different subscriptions or something that used to be one bundle. That's just, there's too much content out there already. And there's just like too much choice. Like think back in the 90s and early 2000s when you go to Blockbuster or Hollywood Video and it was just easier to pick something you want to watch. If there's just going to be near infinite amounts of content that's just generated that quickly via video that looks like very, very, very good, that's actually going to make it not easier, but I think it's just going to put more of a premium on like actually good, curated, shareable content. I mean, like my wife and I, Olivia, we've been just moving for the past months. We're really stressed. We're really tired at the end of the day. And what we've just been doing is we've just been rewatching off and on The Office and Parks and Rec. We've both seen each of these episodes, not The Office and 30 Rock, not Parks and Rec. She isn't a big Parks and Rec fan. We have seen the episodes we've watched like 5 or 6 times each at a minimum. That's being generous towards the low end. We also like have talked about them. Like we'll listen to the Office Ladies podcast discussing them. We have this shared experience that like dates back to the 2000s. People say things like, well, with like ChatGPT Sora, you could have a world where you could say like, what if The Office didn't get bad? What if Michael Scott had stayed, and create all these different permutations? And that could be great. And that could be entertaining if you're like to your point, Sagar, you're in an airport, you're on a plane, you want something new. But if you actually want to share something with someone where there's once again, not just like a shared experience of you and your partner, but there's also other people in the community have listened or the memes that get shared, there just has to be some shared universe we're operating in together. So it's not to say that there won't be cool opportunities for AI to create new content and expand universes. Like I'd love a version of Star Wars from Disney that wasn't terrible after 2015. Like what if Star Wars was much more like Rogue One than like episodes, you know, 7, 8, and 9. That'd be super cool. I'd be down for that. But I still love the fact that I could show up in Texas, meet new people, and talk about the Star Wars that we've actually seen together. So I think it's just going to put a premium on curation and that premium shared products we could have together.
I just think AI is a tool, and this will continue to be a tool. So for example, if people want to know for Breaking Point thumbnails, we use Midjourney sometimes to try and create good thumbnails. But we have to come up with the content ourselves. And everyone's like, yeah, but that's actually going to be done. That's only a few years away. See, this is where I totally disagree. I don't think that's a few years away at all. Because what you're talking about is actual, not only like AGI, but genuine creativity. There's something I think about a lot is Noam Chomsky. And let's all remember, outside of his lib takes, he is a genuinely...
He's a serious linguist.
wrote a phenomenal op-ed like over a year ago in the New York Times, where he was like, LLMs actually aren't language at all. And they totally misunderstand how the language connection and everything else exists. They're being built from a database perspective, as opposed to the millions of years of human evolution that led to the spoken word. And that's just stuck with me for a really long time. And I just think that we have a lot of hubris that you think you can recreate all of that and change it. And I kind of think of it in the same way as the medical system, where the medical system and medicine itself is really, really good at a couple of things. And this is why, like, when people are like, oh, are you anti-modern medicine? It's like, well, it depends what you're saying. You know, like in terms of treating infection, awesome. In terms of fixing a broken bone, we have that down to a literal science. In terms of cutting something out of you and stitching you back up, I think that's great. And even things even more, you know, advanced, like heart transplant or whatever. But then something like depression, and people have no idea the chemical imbalance theory. What about this? What about that? It's because we're dealing with a deeply complex system. I think the same thing about Ozempic. It's like, yeah, it makes people lose weight. Oh, but when they come off of it, then they gain it all back. And there's all kinds of trade-offs.
Wrecks their muscles.
Yeah, it takes your muscle down and it slows down your gut. And everyone's like, oh, it's fine. I'm like, is it fine though? I'm like, I'm pretty sure the gut just evolved to like work a certain way. Like, how do you know what's going to happen 35, 40 years from now? That's just kind of my thing, is I think there's a lot of hubris, like you said, to the idea that we're just going to accelerate 5 years from now. Hollywood will be over. I mean, the great Hollywood movies are, you know, like, again, this is a tool in which it's probably easier to storyboard now. If you are a Hollywood creator, yeah, storyboarding and kind of getting a conceptual idea of what you're going for, definitely, that's going to be a lot easier. But that's a tool. That's not something that's going to replace you per se. Again, the tech people would say I'm totally wrong. And I always just throw Full Self-Driving back in their face. Again, I've used Full Self-Driving. Sorry, guys. It's not even close. It sucks. Like, it sucks all the time. It's actually super annoying, probably 25-30% of the time. And yeah, it's great for some of it. But like, sometimes it's, you know, like I said, brakes, things you're getting into an accident for no reason. I mean, you have to be fully aware and ready whenever you're using it. So until I see evidence that it can make that full jump, I'm not that worried about it. I think it's cool. That's my only, it's like Vision Pro. I think it's cool. That doesn't mean I think it's going to change the world or whatever. I think it's an enhancing tool for pre-existing things that we already do.
Yeah. And I think that's a good way to put it. Okay. So now we're going to go to the paid section. If you want to get access to this part of the conversation, once again, go to realignment.supercast.com or click the link at the top of the podcast show notes on your podcast player and app of choice.